Fife fans, welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a couple of folk talk about stuff that they kind of are interested in, and that, Ken.
Stuff you're probably not interested in.
We're really going downhill.
So, what's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club.
Yeah, let's do it. Just have a chat about Fife Club. Why not? Tell people that you've listened to the worst podcast on radio, on the internet, on the information superhighway. The worst podcast on the World Wide Web.
Are you still trying to listen to us on your wireless?
Yeah, I've got dial-up, mate.
He's going through Netscape.
Oh, wow. Web 1.
Don't like Terminators, Jamie.
That doesn't even make sense.
Starting a high.
So anyway, as always, you wonderful people have been chatting about us all over the place, and we absolutely appreciate it. I would also like to say sorry for not
Who's been
having...
talking about us behind our back?
Yeah, what they said, Mike? No, what they said?
Not even behind our back, like in front of us, to us.
Oh, man. That's fair enough, then. Yeah.
Because I have a respect for someone that calls me a cunt in my face. Happens a surprising amount.
There's three people here that do it a lot.
Speaking truth to cunts.
You were going to say power briefly, but then you would look at me and thought, nah.
So, as I was saying, I would like to say sorry for not having an episode last week, even though I kept promising it. Our Best of the West special is on its way. I'm just waiting on a bit of clearance on it. It's taken a bit longer than I thought it would, so hopefully have that ready next week or the week after. But not to fear, we have assembled last minute to bring you some top quality bullshit as per usual.
We're really ripping off the Bugle right there, aren't we?
So, with that in mind, on the mics with my good self, Kutch tonight, remember that's Mr. Tonight, Jamie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is, do you believe in Fife After Love?
Wow.
Yes. Is Jamie.
Holy shit, that's the best intro you've ever done.
Yes.
Yeah. I can hear something inside me say, yes.
Next to him is... always look on the bright side of Fife. It's Mark.
Yeah. That's so inaccurate.
That's why I thought it was apt.
Yeah.
And across from him, it's a hard knock Fife. Yeah.
You are ginger. That. It's perfect. That's it. Yeah.
You're Mr. Armani.
Well, I do actually have to thank Fife fan Tommy for inspiration, outright nicking his idea from Twitter today for that introduction.
Oh, and legendary and, work. Yeah.
And also I'd like to introduce his good self, Kutch, tonight, A Day in the Fife.
A Day in the Fife. Yeah, that's good.
I was going to go with A Fife Less Ordinary.
Oh!
always stealing your jokes at the last minute.
Improving on that.
Everyone loves a bit of an Ash reference, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely. What a film.
Cracking
well.
Films. Yeah.
Cracking Danny Boyle film. But yeah, so we're here kind of ramshackle as usual, but I think we've actually got a little bit more prep tonight, I think.
Yeah, maybe. We've all got preparation H.
Yeah.
We're all sitting particularly awkward.
I am in no way prepared for that. I brought beer.
Yeah, actually, you brought beer and not a pamphlet of pages.
There are no notes. I just thought whiskey and beer might do it.
I came in, didn't have any booze, and Dave was like, oh, do you want a whiskey? I was like, oh, yeah, sure. And Penn was like, do you want beer? Oh, yeah, sure. It's fucking great.
Friday night podcasting is the way ahead, by the way.
Yeah, but somebody always has to drive. Fuck.
All right, James.
Yeah. Learn to drive, you cunt. We've been taking you back to Oakley enough.
Yeah, none of us have any hubcaps left. Hey, that's a Fife-based gag right there.
Yeah. Oh, dear. So, yeah, I was just talking about Bowfest, Best of the West. Obviously, I was there. Two weekends.
So, are you going to give us like a brief preview of what happened at Bowfest? Some
he hasn't been drinking.
Some of your highlights. Does that make you a bow selector? Oh. Yes.
Oh. We should do that again. Get a rewind.
Yes.
No, that was good. I like that. But yeah, just a brief highlight. We have this episode coming. Basically, I got wrecked for 3 days. We did an episode last year. I did one with the Daisies afterwards, and we were all a bit kind of hungover. This time, it was kind of during it. I've managed to get some interviews with the guys from Tightlines, from Heron Valley, and from Skippinish. So it's right in there with your trad, your Scots trad.
Yeah, Scots trad, yeah.
And also spoke with the Coldhound Daisies again. Yeah, it's a very messy drunk episode, but it's good fun. And Best of the West is just a cracking weekend. I can't, like, I just can't explain enough how just absolutely, utterly enjoyable it is.
Like, how come they, like, when everything's West, it's Best of the West, mm-hmm. but if it's in the East Coast, we always get Beast of the East. It's just like bad weather.
But yeah, it's, like I say, it's predominantly trad music. They usually have like a breakaway act who's maybe a bit more indie or a bit more rock or something like that that sort of changes things up. But yeah, it's brilliant. That's what the music scene is like down, especially like Argyll in that way. There is a big trad scene, Gaelic music as well. And it's wonderful to see all these bands come together. And it's also food and drink from the area. It's a lot of fine whiskies. Do the whiskey bar, and it's all like West Coast whiskies. And as I say, all the food's from Argyll as well. You've got a lot of fine oysters and Churchill venison. And all
did you have a couple of oysters while you were there?
I didn't have any oysters.
I'm not wanting to get in the mood.
No, not a huge fan of the oysters.
Hello, the Mrs. Cutch. Oh, wow. Well, the Mrs. Cutch and the muscles. Bloody hell. Did see Mrs. Cutch at the gym the other day, but she'd been on the protein powders.
Which is fuck. Yeah. But yeah, it's a properly good festival, and I would recommend anybody. It's not dear either. You're looking at like somewhat 40 quid for the weekend, 3-day festival. It's not a huge festival either. It's not like a Tea in the Park or anything like that.
Fuck for that.
Yeah, it's like
Tea in the Park's a bit stabby.
It's like it's like basically a horseshoe shaped set of marquees right in front of Inverary Castle. So the setting's like amazing and beautiful as well. And just great people, great time. Lots of good drink and food.
That's where Kutch lost his virginity.
No. Definitely not. Okay. But yeah, so look forward to that. That episode's coming, and it is a cracking episode. So yeah.
Obviously, Kutch lost his virginity on his wedding night.
Because God, wouldn't have approved otherwise.
No, he wouldn't have. And
because he watches.
Anybody that has out of wedding relationships will burn in hell. Yeah. Ethan.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Ethan. Bit cut, you're a sodomy.
Oh.
That's Phil Collins.
Allegedly.
Oh, no, I think he's an anti-sodomite. Badoomch.
There's a joke for the long-term fans.
Give me Mora.
Yeah. That one will really bear repeated listening. Potentially a further legal dispute with Mr. Collins.
Yeah.
Crikey.
We really need to get a lawyer in on the show. Where is the legal counsel? What else have we been looking at, reading, interested in?
Kutch, you've got a list of things we're going to talk about.
I was kind of opening that up to Mark, but he was too busy looking at his phone.
Yeah, I was looking at my phone. Don't worry, I've got copious notes. Quick, to the App Store.
Just for listeners, it's five lines, each about an average of 2 to 3 words.
I have a gift for brevity. I was going to talk about something that was in the press a couple of weeks ago that I thought was kind of interesting.
Uh-huh.
So Nike, we're all familiar with Nike.
Yes. Nike.
How do we pronounce that, actually? I was always a Nike man.
It's Nike. The name Mike is Mike.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The word Nike isn't fucking Nike.
I think the Greek god that's named after is pronounced Nike.
It was, but nah, man.
But I've always said Nike. Yeah.
So have I, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think we all get a good tick for that? No.
Just do it, come on.
Such a bad aura. We've all been pitching in, I love it, yeah.
So the story with Nike was that they offered a contract the other day to the American football player Colin Kaepernick.
Yep.
I think it's Kaepernick. Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Here we go again. Yeah.
I think it's Kaepernick. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's fearsome birds.
I think it's Kaepernick.
But anyway, right, back. But seriously, you never want to get trapped by a capercaillie. Like, they are fucking vicious cunts, the capercaillies.
What the fuck's a capercaillie?
It's a bird.
Scottish bird, about the size of a large turkey, and it's very territorially aggressive.
It sounds like a Scottish nursery rhyme monster.
It's also a trad band as well.
Yeah, that is it. Yeah. Capercaillie,
Is it great trad band? Do they spell it caillie? Like, as in a caillie?
Oh,
I don't know. And if they
don't, I don't know.
They fucking should.
I don't think they do.
So if any of the members of Capercaillie are listening to us, or if there are any Highland birds the size of a giant turkey listening, also just write in and let us know. This episode's already a turkey. Good, good. So anyway, like, I thought it was kind of interesting because, like, this, like, if for people who don't know the backstory, there's a whole thing about kneeling during the national anthem to protest against, like, police brutality, discrimination against black people, black athletes, whatever.
Yep.
So they decided to take a stand, particularly in the NFL, because it's so loved by... actually, it's just weird how much American football is loved by certain parts of America. Like, it's almost like a religion.
It's like the height of what we were talking about. It's the height of American flag waving.
Yeah, totally. Like, that absolutely is
the allegiance to the flag and football, basically. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, mental. Like, it's just so loved, and like from everything, from like people actually playing, like sitting down on Thanksgiving, it's a big part of the thing is watching American football game. They go out and play American football and stuff like that.
I mean,
it's
the Super Bowl was one of the biggest watched things in the world as
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, they had this protest during the national anthem. It was Colin Kaepernick was the guy who led most of it. And basically refused to bow down. Donald Trump had a massive go at the NFL for doing it. Singled out the athletes and things like that. Said it was disrespecting the flag, disrespecting the country, and all that kind of thing. But some of the athletes have like not continued, have like given up. Some of them have continued to do it, sort of thing. And Colin Kaepernick was the guy who just basically refused to bow down, and then ended up losing his NFL contract as a result. Because the franchise that hired him like felt under so much pressure, because it was almost like that was dominating. The media were so obsessed with that aspect of it that was kind of taking away from the rest of the spectacle, kind of thing. So anyway, I thought it was kind of interesting that Nike then offered him a contract, like, because he's obviously not playing with his team, like professional athlete. So I think I was kind of interested, and like on the surface of it, I was like, "Yay, that's a good thing to do. Well done, Nike. What a stand up thing." And then there's part of me was wondering, do we think it's like trying to commercialize activism? I don't know if you remember, like a couple of years ago, it was Jenner. Kylie Jenner.
The Pepsi advert.
It's basically Pepsi tried to film this what looked like a protest, but everyone ends up drinking Pepsi and being pals. Nobody wears like masks and Guy Fox masks and throwing rocks at Starbucks or anything like that. Like a real protest. But no, instead they all just end up like drinking Pepsi and wearing each other's clothes and being best friends forever or something. So I think there's like a creeping aspect of that, of like commercializing activism.
It's a weird one, because you want to get, part of you wants to get behind it and think, you know, it's good that obviously these big brands are, but at the same time, the cynic in me just goes, if like popular opinion was floating in, you know, any other way, would they quite happily back Nazis? You know, it's like
potentially.
That's it. It's like, is it
Hugo Boss did,
like America did,
like Coca-Cola advertising in the Hitler Youth pamphlets.
Exactly. But it's that kind of thing. You know, we've seen it in the past where it's happened, and is that all this is? Is it just a marketing grab? You know, something that gets a bit of attention, it gets people talking. It's obviously free advertising that way.
Well, that's the thing about it. I've never actually heard of Colin Kaepernick before all this.
So, okay, it's Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, the Greek god, I'd never heard of Colin Kaepernick until this all kicked off. So it just all seemed to be all of a sudden this dude was around, and it's because he was doing something apparently wrong, even though what he was doing was standing up for something that he believes in. So it's like, fair play, do that. But I'm totally with you on the fact that it just seems to be that there's a lot of companies now that are doing it where it's like, oh, they're popular. It doesn't matter why they're popular. Let's get with them.
See, I agree with you all, but I have a slightly different take in that he started as a professional athlete. And American football is so insanely dangerous. There was a guy just last week or a week before who, I can't remember his name, but I'd heard of him. He was quite a big, you know, he's a big enough guy, but I'd heard of him. He's just like, yeah, I'm retiring. And people are like, what? you've got like years left playing. And you're just like, yeah, I'm retiring because I'm healthy. And I've seen what happens to people who stick around in this game. Mm-hmm. I'm healthy. I've got enough money for life to be more of a comfortable. That's it.
He
retired at half time. He retired at half time. I don't know if he got hit or something. He's just like, fuck this.
I'm done.
I've got enough money. I don't need to get my brain smashed. So, with that in mind, it's the world we live in where money is made by people with that sort of athletic ability, because money's being made off of it anyway. And actually, America NFL has a great rate. I think players get like 50% of revenue, or that's basketball. It's maybe 40-something percent, but it's high.
Yeah.
So I'd rather that they make money from something that's making money anyway. And because he was denied that chance by doing something which I think is completely right.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think every one of us basically stands up and agrees with that.
Then I don't mind so much that he's getting paid. Can still be a little bit cynical about for Nike, but at the same time, I'm happy he's getting paid because he's suing the NFL just now, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Or the franchise, maybe. Oh, the NFL as well, I think.
But I think the NFL has, I want to say they might have centralized contracts. I'm not entirely sure of that. They might do.
That does sound
right, they might do because they have a draft system, so it probably makes sense. They've got a really good draft system, actually. It's so cool. But so, yeah, I basically agree with you guys, but I'm happy he's getting paid, so I don't really mind if they're commercializing it.
Yeah.
And it's worked for Nike as well, because their sales have fucking skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. I think that distinction between like what's good for Colin Kaepernick and what Nike's intentions are like can be sort of disentangled a little bit. I completely agree with you. I think he absolutely deserves to get money, get paid for being like a top athlete and whatever. But I was thinking about things like, you know, like the 1968 Black Power protest. Like, Tommy Smith and John Carlos, I think his name was. John Carlos as well gave the Black Power salute at the 68 Olympics.
Yeah.
And I was thinking right now, like they did it with one glove on each hand, like because there was this whole story about how there was glove and they wanted to make a real protest, like a really symbolic gesture. Mm-hmm. So they put the one glove on. So they both did it with the. And I was like thinking now, what would like if you're a sports brand or a Nike or something like that? I bet you the marketers are right on it going, sponsor that glove. Sponsor that glove or something like that right now. And I just I worry a little bit about that, but I also worry about this wider thing. You know what it used to be like? The way products were marketed to you was you were like, it was marketed to you because it was a good product.
Yeah.
And then people said, you don't market the product. It's like, you don't sell the sausage, you sell the sizzle kind of thing. So it's like, that's the point in selling. You stop selling it in terms of a product, but in terms of a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So that was the kind of lifestyle you had. But I wonder now if products are going a completely different way and that they're actually trying to sell an identity to people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this brand is very much part of your identity or should be part of your identity. We are this brand that holds these particular values. Yeah. So you should buy our product because we hold these values. And I think there's something that, potentially good in that. But I also think there's something cynical in that.
Yeah, because it's guaranteed not everybody working for that brand will be a supporter of that as well.
Yeah.
So that'll be one or two very, very clever marketing people that have gone, we should sponsor him.
Yeah.
And the higher ups will have gone, what the fuck? Why? Yeah. And they'll have gone, this is why. And they'll have gone, nah, it might work. Yeah. And it's clearly worked. It's clearly worked really well.
Well, I mean, look at it. We're talking about it. But I mean,
one podcast for Fight is talking about multi-billion-dollar company Nike.
But you take the big time, Colin Kaepernick or Nike.
Kaylee.
We're in Scotland. We'll give you a Scottish name. Colin Kirkpatrick. I think it's a really interesting thing about where we are in terms of where, well, like in terms of the way companies influence our lives and our sports and things.
It's interesting what you were saying about like the sort of identity branding as well. Like, you know, they sell in an identity. It's actually at the point when brands have identities. Mm-hmm. Like, personal identities.
Yeah.
You look at some just like Innocent Smoothies.
Yes, that's classic. A really good example. Yeah.
Innocent Smoothies, it's all like everything about from their actual like logo down to the things that are on the bottles, it makes the bottle out to be a person. Like, you are,
it gives it personality.
That smoothie you're drinking has its own personality, and there's different things on each bottles, and you know, it's sort of like almost like the bottle's talking to you as well. So it's
like Jelly Babies were ahead of the curve.
Oh yeah, totally. they did that kind of thing first. Really,
babies are delicious.
But you see it now you see it now with channels as well.
Yeah,
look at Dave.
Right.
That is a classic channel.
Or Jack's the new Tesco.
Exactly. But I mean, Dave's one of the ones which they renamed it Dave because everybody knows a Dave.
Yeah.
That was the idea. It's gold two
but
or
no
something
one
like
likes
that.
The Dave in oh.
This is awkward.
But there was an insufferable every band.
They did that and then they did the whole thing where it's all comedy, but then they also gave a voice and a kind of personality to the idents in between each program. And then you've seen other channels pick that up. Sky One, for example, now has this sort of like cheeky friendly attitude to it.
And it reminds me of the Sun campaign in the mid-90s.
Yeah, I think that you're probably right on that. I think the Sun was probably there as well. But there's been a lot of that going on more and more recently where it's like literally given the brand an identity which then people can relate to even more than just a logo or a...
Oh, I was going to say, like, it almost feels like marketers have looked at like the era of like our teenage tribes. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's the sporty one, those are the goth, those are whatever. There are various different brands that are just going to basically...
They're scary.
Yeah.
My teenage self would be appalled by how much football I watch these days. Would not like it one bit. But it can go wrong, though. Mm-hmm. Like, just very briefly, Reebok came in and became the MMA main... They started doing a U-form policy for UFC. And that completely backfired because one, they looked shit at first. They're a bit better now. Mm. Two, they did stupid things like mispronounce absolute legends' names like Gilbert Melendez. It's like Gibbler Melendez.
Gave him the Colin Kaepernick.
Everybody now calls him Gibbler Melendez. Like, it's great. But they were also taking away fighter sponsorship pay as well.
Yeah.
Because they're the only apparel in there and not any sponsorships on it. So fans fucking, like, they make some cool stuff, but they had a massive backlash as well. You have a Reebok top. It actually looks pretty cool.
Quite a few Reebok tops.
Yeah. Your one's the nicest one I've seen from them, actually.
Yeah, like, a lot of them are a bit too.
Oh, you're really handsome, good. Dave.
I guess, man, yeah. I try and leave that. I'll do my best, Dave.
It doesn't wear you. You wear it.
They're actually sponsoring me now.
Oh man, I love Reebok.
Can you get them to sponsor this?
No. Nothing could get anything to sponsor that.
I've ordered Nike.
I was going to say the other brief point.
I've
just realised
Nike.
Sorry, Pemmin, you were saying? Yeah.
I just want to interrupt quickly. Norman Bates' mother is across there and it's freaking the shit out of me. All right. So it's very much catching me in the corner of my eye, but there's a window right there at Norman Bates' mother's.
That's Gary.
It does look like a wig and...
Yep.
Yeah, no.
That's very definitely. I'm pretty sure I've got my back to it, but I'm pretty sure that'll be my neighbour, Gary.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, Gary, I know Gary.
Yeah, you do know Gary.
Yeah. Does he regularly dress as Norman Bates' mum?
He's usually in shorts.
He always wears shorts. I've seen him in the pub in like the dead of winter in shorts. It's impressive. I love shorts. Listening, Gary, which you won't be, but.
Yeah, respect.
Bro. Yeah, respect.
Respect, bro. Yeah. So I was just going to vaguely dip into the point. Like, what really annoys me about all these things is when you have people going, yeah, you should just take the politics out of sport. It's like you can't take politics out of absolutely anything.
And also taking politics out of sport, it's like entrenched in it.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
That's what sports is.
Yeah,
for a start, in its own right, it has its own politics.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
There was like a little thing. I'm going to digress briefly, but I got into a bit grumpy this week because the political editor of The Guardian had to go about Labour Party, like Labour Party conference is in Liverpool this year, and Labour put out a statement saying that they're not going to sell the Sun. They're going to ban certain journalists from Labour Party conference. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of people saying, oh, it's just petty, squashing freedom of the press and things like that. But actually, the reason was because there's just a massive campaign against the Sun because of the Hillsborough disaster.
They sell fuck all in Liverpool.
They absolutely do. I think that it was that like lack of understanding about how entrenched sport and politics are in that particular city and the attitude towards that particular newspaper. I was quite shocked that people either didn't know or chose to think that wasn't an important issue. It's like, it absolutely is. Like, it defines.
Well, I mean, it's not even just that now that there's next to no sales of the Sun, so many shops and like newsagents that just don't sell it. Just don't carry it.
Because people boycott them. Yeah. They do. They're just like,
So that is a classic example of that. How entrenched it all is. Yeah, totally.
That example should be taken nationally, in my view. Like,
yeah, totally.
Conor McGregor today, in his press conference with Habib yesterday, was citing things like Habib's involvement with, Kadyrov, the Chechen dictator.
Yeah.
Because he's totally well in with him. And but also the UFC, he was at the UFC had their first event in Moscow, and he was fucking there. And like all these cronies, I was like, Jesus Christ, these are the sorts of people the UFC is doing deals with.
That's shady as
fuck. But I was impressed that Conor McGregor done his research to that degree.
Yeah, read up like
yeah. He researches a shit out of someone before he smack talks.
Oh, yeah.
It worked. It's nice.
I'm pretty sure. Rasman Kadyrov choked out his own dad. Permanently.
That's right, yeah.
He also, I'm pretty sure his kids have done MMA fights. They also own ACB.
Oh, yeah.
And ACB stopped doing events because ACB may or may not be a money laundering operation for Kadyrov. It totally is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, how can you do jiu-jitsu tournaments in a stadium and only fill, like, you know, 100, 200 seats? Because they say they sold them all, probably.
But that's the thing, though, is that when it comes to like politics and sport being, that's part and parcel of one another. Because you get like, you'll get even international games and everything like that. If you've got like World Cup final, you had both presidents of both countries there, and it's just like, all right, okay. Well, that's kind of understandable, the fact that they're for an international one, because it's like, oh, this is our country. And here's how popular I am. It was, is it Macron? Is that?
Yeah.
He was there front and center, and he comes across as being a relatively likable chap, I suppose, is probably one way of putting it. But
I fundamentally disagree with
you. But that's the thing. Like, Obama came across as being a relatively likable chap as well, whereas in reality, he was in the background launching drones at folks.
Yeah. Personally, launching drones, throwing them at folks, not giving a fuck.
But that was it. That's like, whereas the kind of front facing, like, public side of him, he was there playing basketball and being the likable dad chap.
Yeah.
Who didn't speak like a human would usually speak.
But even if you think about, like, things like the setting up and establishment of things like football teams and things like that. Like, Dave, you're a Celtic fan. Boo. But like the way that club come, like the particular sort of politics that Celtic fans are kind of known for and stuff like that across the city, there's a different type of politics and things like that. Aside from the sectarian aspect, there's also a kind of nationalist unionist kind of a vibe going there. Like Boca Juniors and River Plate as well in Argentina's biggest derby as well, super classical. But like Boca was the working class team from the ports. River was are known as Los Millonarios because they were from a richer suburb. And it's like these divides are from all across like various different social and political things.
Barcelona
as well.
They're like a cooperative essentially.
They're
fully owned by the fans. That's it.
In the city where you had like anarcho-communist syndicalist things, and it's totally out of that tradition.
That's it as well. But the whole sort of Celtic and Rangers thing, as you were saying as well, it's the political side of that. I think went too far ages ago.
Yeah.
But I was in Belfast just recently, and it was walking by the end of I can't remember the name of it, Sandy Row or something, and on the corner there's a pub called The Royal that's right next to the Belfast Rangers Supporters Club, which I was staying quite near accidentally. But on the outside of the Royal pub there was the Israel flag, there was the Confederate flag for USA.
They're
supporting all these like kind of
I would suggest like slightly right-wing nationalist causes. Nationalist in a different way. Kind of difficult to define.
Imperialism comes to mind, but it's not accurate.
But actually, in the same way that like there are Rangers fans that now wave Israel flags because the Celtic fans have tried to adopt the Palestinian cause.
Even down to like the going along the kind of Catholic side of town as well, and they're like ironically doing like pride flags from buildings and stuff. Yeah. And it's like it's not too long ago that you guys weren't doing that. So it's you gotta wonder who picked up on that first and went, no, we're anti that as well. Yeah. Fuck you guys. And it just seems to be getting a bit But I don't know, that's not just Celtic and Rangers, that's the whole fucking
thing. Yeah.
It's the whole world.
I don't want to touch on that.
Everything.
Yeah. Well done politics, you fucking pricks.
All right.
Right, shall we move on with a segue to the next section?
Yeah, that's a really good segue.
Can I refresh my glass?
You could refresh your glass. Yeah. On the subject of controversies, we're also going to talk a little bit about fridging.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So Mark, this is, again, your wheelhouse at the moment.
Yeah, very much. So, like, I didn't understand the concept of the word fridging until recently.
I've heard it quite a few times, but that's just because of...
Shall I try and attempt to explain it? Apparently, it all comes from a comic book, which you will probably know about, Kutch.
Yep.
But let me tell you about comic books. there's this comic book character, bear with me now, he's called the Green Lantern.
I thought you were going to go, let me tell you about comic books. They are panels of informational graphics.
If we need to start at the basic level, Kutch, I'm happy to do it.
Tableau format.
But yeah, there's a comic book character called the Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. He's called Green because he wears a sort of emerald shade of outfit.
Yes.
And he has this ring thing that makes things appear and shit.
Whatever you can imagine, essentially.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Like, yeah, so that's
terrible
good.
Film with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. So anyway, like, apparently, like, his wife or something dies in the comic book thing. And
murdered.
Yeah. Would be murdered.
Yeah.
And then that, like, the impetus of his wife's murder forces him to become some sort of superhero character thing.
Yeah, you're missing out why it's called fridging.
Oh, because she was in the fridge.
Yeah, because
her body was in the fridge.
She's murdered and put in the fridge by his, basically... adversary.
Nemesis, of course. The problem is that you would obviously put her in the freezer, not the fridge.
Like one of those little icebox ones.
So you've really cut her into small pieces. Like, you've got to take out the ice cube trays first, though, just to get extra room.
Those peas aren't
good. So, like,
it's never going to taste the same though after you defrost it. What eating human flesh I've got today? I don't know.
Tastes like chicken. Or crocodile. So the whole concept is, like in films, there's this whole premise where if you've got a male character, then the usually early doors kill off his wife or significant other or something like that in order to give him the emotional impetus to carry out some kind of revenge mission, go beyond his normal capabilities, basically carry on the film in some kind of capacity that's interesting to watch, because 2 hours of a man crying because his wife's been murdered wouldn't be great fun to watch. Daniel Day-Lewis has done that very film, and actually it's captivating. So I was reading this thing because The Guardian had a massive article about it. Like fridging constantly, blah blah blah, fridging. Like, well, the problem is not like there was very much a feminist take on it, which was like, this is always happening, it's a constant trope sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I was just reading it and thinking that actually your problem is not of the whole fridging element, because if you take that from other things, like Keanu Reeves in John Wick.
Yeah.
They kill his dog. And he commits all these acts of atrocities as a result of killing his dog.
I was going to check, we're all okay with this if we kill a dog, right?
No.
What?
If someone killed a fucking dog that I owned, I'd commit genocide. Like, I genuinely, and a cat.
Yeah.
Like, actually, you hurt an animal. I'm fucking coming for you. But no, I was like, we're all of that. Jamie. He's a monster. But like, my point was rather that the problem is not that it's like killing the wife for that. The problem is that there's just not enough women characters being written for anything. So the idea that, why is there this idea that we must go back into previous things that have been written? Like, I think we can all accept there's a problem. We can all accept that there's too many male-driven narratives, but often written by men as well. The problem is that there is insufficient female narratives, but if you had a female character, one of the things, like, are you saying that you wouldn't kill her husband, which would make her do crazy batshit crazy stuff?
Essentially, look at Wonder Woman.
Yeah, but she's some kind of goddess from another world.
But no, what I'm saying is, in Wonder Woman, they kill off Steve, what's his face, the love interest.
They
kill him off at the end of the film, which gives her the impetus and the impetus and the extra oomph to knock the shit out of the bad guy. So yeah, there's elements of where that does happen the other way around. But I think I get what you're saying. Like, obviously, reading the Guardian article, I kind of get what they're at, in that it's a continual trope and it's still something that's happening even now.
I can take that point. What I don't like is the constant need to go back into history to try and rewrite history to insert a different narrative.
Yeah, it's about changing that. But I think it is, because the problem is obviously, how do you change that when that is the continual trope and narrative that is constantly pushed on you, and then people believe that, you know, let's say it ends up being a cultural thing. You know, those, I think, Dave, you said, it's just a story. But then that, when we were talking about it earlier,
But we were preparing for the podcast, guys. Yeah.
Not that you've missed anything. But yeah, it's like, it is just a story, but it's a story that's continually retold, and as these stories become part of our culture and our society. And as I say, then for young men growing up, young women growing up, these are the roles that men protect women because women always die. You know, it's.
But don't we also just actually then, just protect anybody that we care about?
Yeah.
Is that not a, potentially a wider point? A
wider thing. But,
because there's only essentially six stories in the world.
But why isn't it, you know, obviously you're saying like John Wick, it's about the dog, but that's one. Why haven't we had for a long time more stories about friends dying or, well, you know, that kind of thing happening?
Spider-Man and Uncle Ben. Wait, is it Uncle Ben? It's Uncle Ben. So there are stories out there, but like inevitably, if you're doing something like somebody who's going to go on a killing spree, like is likely to be an adult, right? So potentially they're not going to have like the killing their kids is a common one as well. Like you don't like constantly fridging kids. That sounds weird, but we're just going to carry right on. Yeah. Assume that wasn't something.
Yeah, Jamie, you're huffing and hawing.
Well,
yeah.
So most of the violence that happens in society is men doing it to other men or men doing it to women.
Yeah.
And the majority of, like kids killed and wives killed is by men whose wives just left them or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
And... So in the media, we tell ourselves a story that if this happens, then this is what would happen, that you'd go mental and do this. But fuck all people ever do it. Almost no one. But in reality, what really happens is that it reinforces this idea that men are violent and this is the correct way to deal with things. And then it probably leads to more people... women being killed.
I'm unsure if I agree.
Like, basically, in any film, you need to have a premise for something to happen. If nothing of this happens, like, you need to explain why something happens. Like in any film, and I appreciate like
the most explanation films, doesn't make sense.
But we should. Well, no, it doesn't. In fact. No. Basically, what happens is you go home and your partner's been murdered. You phone the police, and then the police think that it's you that has killed them, and then that's a different film.
And then it doesn't, in fact, and there's also the possibility that it might reinforce real world problems. That's my take.
Well, potentially, but also like films are constantly about grand world conspiracies. And things like that, about one individual unlocking a great conspiracy that involves world governments and things like that. That also doesn't happen.
That's
realistically.
That's why it's just stories. That's kind of my view on this is the fact that it is just stories. Because, I mean, there are movies out there that are women getting revenge on men as well. Like
Kill Bill.
Yeah. Aye, there was a number of movies about
it. And also Kill Bill is genre bending in that it takes that premise and turns it on its head. Which is sad that makes that revolutionary. But
the thing is that this whole fridging thing, it's a way of setting a story. And there's many other stories that are set in drama and in media and stuff. And it's, people can take from media and they can act upon it in different ways and get ideas as to how people would react to certain things. And the way that is a completely unrealistic way. If someone's wronged like that, I mean, there's a chance they might go out and smash the shit out of somebody, but I doubt very much they're going to, you know, get to the hierarchy of a gang and fucking kill 88 people to get me like old boy, you know what I mean? But it just... I know. But again, that's another story that's just like, meh. But you've got like, I spit in your grave where a woman's wronged and then she goes ahead and kills all the men that are involved. And it's just like, it's just a story. And horrible things happen to people in real life, but the way it's portrayed in these kind of movies, it's not like, oh, here's a factually based thing. Here's Law Abiding Citizen starring Gerard Butler and Jamie Foxx where his family's killed and he's going to go out and dissect people. And it's just like, it's a story. It's just a story.
While I agree, it is just a story. And I think there is a space for that. And actually, I'm a fan of things that are ludicrous and don't make sense.
Yeah. So we all are, which is why those films are predominant.
But I also think that they're the predominant movies and TV are the predominant form of storytelling.
Of course.
And that influences culture.
I don't disagree with that at all, to unlink them. I think it's that thing of saying just stories. They're not just stories in that's how that's how we inform ourselves about the world as well with these stories, and that's how we tell.
It's like modern myth.
Yeah,
more so now, but I mean, certainly back in the day, whereas things like Macbeth was written, and it was because, you know, somebody was killed, so somebody had to die, eye for an eye. And that was certainly back before.
That's quite how it worked in history. Quite often you could be bought off by, like, oh, I'll give you 60 cows. Cool, that'll settle our blood debt.
Yeah.
That's the majority of, like, medieval Britain and Ireland's law codes. It's basically, how many cows will you give me for killing my brother?
1 year until we're back to that.
Sick.
Got that to look forward to.
No, I was just going to make the point that, like, I totally don't disagree with you about that. I think there's predominantly unhealthy cultures about men and violence and things like that that come through popular media and culture. Mm-hmm. But I think that what the Guardian article is, like, I just feel like it's asking the wrong question. I think the question, I think the question is, like, why are we obsessed with violent movies? Yeah. Why are we obsessed with violent fantasies, which is basically what a lot of these movies are? Why are we not having enough
video games?
Yeah, video games are pretty much acting out violent fantasies.
Yeah.
Anyway, and not the way that I think that they necessarily influence. I do think they probably influence behavior among some people. Mm-hmm. I don't think they influence behavior again amongst others.
No,
because that whole kids are only shooting people in schools because of, like, Grand Theft Auto. It's just bullshit. No. It's like you have people that, like, kids that have various different problems.
Yeah,
they're acting out in a different way. But my problem,
kids that don't have access to guns aren't shooting kids in schools.
Yeah, exactly.
I play FIFA. I'm not a professional footballer.
There's still time to get a scouted, though, Dave. But yeah, my point is just, like, stop at, like. Ask about why we're obsessed with violence in films in the first place. Ask why there's not enough female writers. Mm-hmm. Ask why there's not enough female protagonists in these films as well. And, like,
no, I think
let's not continually rewrite history.
I mean, I'm massively, in a way, guilty of this myself, in that all the sports, like, I'm interested in, like, combat sports, is pretty much it.
You love fighting, James.
I love guys fighting, especially MMA.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, essentially the most brutal sport you can get.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that, and I casually like ice hockey and rugby.
Yeah.
Again, massively physical sports that are dangerous.
Shinty.
Yeah. Shinty's hardcore. Like. No. But but the thing is, you do get people who are fans of, like, I'll use combat sports, because of the violence.
Yeah.
Totally. And they like to see blood and stuff. Whereas for me, it's more, I've done martial arts since I was 8, and it's like a technical thing. And blows my mind when people like can exceed what I think is possible, and, like, they look like they're transcending into God. It's fucking amazing.
And that's with films, like the good films are the ones that take these narratives and shift them into a different place.
Yes,
that take them to do something different with them and make
but
them better.
At the same time, I know there's people who are into MMA either
purely
for the blood sport.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of helping that along, even though that's not what I'm in it for. Well, it's because of the massive physical stakes mixed with technicality that
Well, I would say
not that someone. I actually don't like it, especially a live event, especially the first time when someone gets knocked out. What are we doing?
Yeah.
And then it happens again. You're like, ah, it's great. But it's not always great. The person got knocked out. It's the skill of a person who knocked them out.
Yeah. See, I've tried to describe this as well, especially with something like boxing. I don't get.
Yeah,
it's too stiff, and there's not. I don't feel there's anything all that technical. It's just people punching one another, and I don't like that. Whereas MMA,
I think it's easier to see the technicality in MMA.
Yeah, and
I think boxing in a lot of ways is more technical than MMA.
When it is like basically a punching match.
Yeah,
I'm not much into that. I start to lose it. But see, when it gets down on the mat and it gets technical, and it's, you know, it's all about, like you say, you know, how have they got themselves in that position? How have they got out of that? You know, that transcendence, essentially. You know, the constant. Strategical thinking that's happening, you know, between these two people who essentially don't know what the other person's about to do, and yet they're managing to. It's amazing.
It's like it transcends time as well. And it's
amazing to watch.
It's like what good art does, though, because that's what good music does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's like why I like people like Aphex Twin. But I also people like Julia Holter, who I tweeted about this weekend, and she's not massively technical in her music, but what she does feels like it takes you to another place.
Yeah,
it's all good, like what you're saying about movies as well.
Yeah.
And it shifts your perspective. So
yeah.
Truly martial arts.
Yeah,
that's what I like about it. The sports in general, when it comes to certain things, it's like evolution. And it's like, like, yeah, you say, it's like taking the next step, and that's why I do like
how far has MMA come in 10 years?
Absolutely. Even the way it's become far more popular, more people following it, and it's, you know, there's certain things happening within it that seem to be kind of progressing as well. But even down to like football, like, I'm not a huge football fan, but watching like teams like Barcelona and stuff play, that's like, because it's like, wow,
I'm not the biggest fan of football, but I like watching Barcelona. Yeah, it's fucking incredible.
It's like, oh right, that's a way of doing it that's different. That's it. And it's even like, I watched Zlatan Ibrahimovic the other day, and he's 36 years old
or something like that. And he scored that goal.
That crazy round house. What the fuck? And it's just like, so there's certain things about that I just find amazing.
And also, he's a Taekwondo black belt.
I've seen him do the kick,
which is how he did that.
I was just going to say, like, and just one point on that, like, transcending sport as well. Mm-hmm. We're briefly talking about ice hockey. There's a really good example of like how sport is transcended by an individual in ice hockey, possibly more than I can think of in any other sport. It's like, until Wayne Gretzky started going behind the net, nobody went behind the net. Like, he went behind the net and he could cut passes straight in front of the keeper for a player to just shoot. It's like one time shot. Nobody had done that before. He's got, like, some of his records will never be broken.
No.
Because he did something just totally transcended the game.
Yeah.
But to go back to, like, very briefly, to round it up on my original point, I was going to say, I've watched an awful lot of like, romantic comedies, and I'm still a shite right. So it doesn't actually.
See what you did there. Oh dear.
Did you manipulate your lover's feelings about 9/11 just like Love Actually did?
I can't remember Love Actually.
Oh, that's the first line in the fucking thing. They go like, oh, what's 9/11? You know, listen to the recordings of 9/11. They weren't about hate, they're about love, actually. It's like, oh, fuck off. Don't use 9/11 to your shitey Christmas film, you cunt.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have strong feelings on Love Actually.
Yeah.
Quite like it.
It's a highly
rewatchable film.
It also features a stalker. Stalks a guy and then turns up at her door and chillingly just like puts out cards.
Don't tell your husband who's that best friend behind here.
Also, like, that is
it's fucked up. It's a fucked up film.
You want to talk about disturbing male tropes. The fact that every man has to win over a woman for her affection, that eventually she will relent. That's what got Sting into trouble.
Saying Sting takes a tantric approach to seducing women? Lasts for so long.
Every move you make, every turn you take, I've got my trousers around my ankles, I'm wanking in an alleyway. Yeah, well done, Sting. Tantrically, obviously.
I feel there needs to be an allegedly in there.
Allegedly.
Yeah. It's lasted for days.
Oh dear.
People think it's performance art. Wow, should we switch on to another segue, to another important issue? Another topic of the day.
I think we should probably maybe make a move to our wonderful desert island. Mark.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time once again when we join BBC Radio 4 for another edition of Desert Island Dex.
Thank you very much.
It's back on the island. This week, this island is looking to secede from the EU.
Yeah! Get rid of them foreigns.
If you didn't know we were part of the EU, we are. We have to be, because we keep ending up on the island from, you know, the 4th, so...
Yeah. Oh, I thought we were going to, like, Chagos Islands, like, you know, just... We just
that's actually pronounced
up.
The Chagos Islands.
Chagos Islands. we just you know, got rid of all the indigenous people.
Oh, speaking,
fuck off! We want a military base. Slashed out. Do a podcast.
Speaking about that, like, I saw a guy in Tesco yesterday who had a little pimped up Nedmobile, and he had a sticker on the back that said "Four doors, more whores." So I was just about, I was like desperate to take a photograph of it, but he moved just as I was about to take a photograph of it.
Oh,
I was waiting for an Instagram of Top Shagger alert. So looking forward to it. Gutted I couldn't get that.
Wow, four doors, more whores.
So if you drive a black Golf with blacked out windows and have that sticker, you're a dick. And you're not getting laid.
That that has to be like a 16-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Who's a virgin. Yeah.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, we're on our island, and we are looking to get the fuck out of the EU. We don't want none of that good, like... that good economic, you know...
Those benefits and the trade.
Benefits, yeah. Oh, that, we don't want none of that.
The social protections that they offer us. Yeah.
So we're going to...
What have we done?
No, what the fuck have we
done? We want blue passports, and we want them now. And old light bulbs. We want old light bulbs.
Filament light bulbs. Yeah. And fucking straws, plastic straws. And
ours be slightly louder.
Yeah. Ours is officially the darkest island because we want those crap old light bulbs. None of your LED pesh for us, no.
We just want to burn fuel, burn energy. Yeah, fuck it. Fucking idiots. Anyway, so we're going to send some people.
Hold on, technically, lads, aren't we immigrants as well? Like, because we constantly end up on the same island all the time. We're not really economic migrants, though, because we just end up there.
There, yeah. Yeah. Stuck for a wee while.
But we keep returning to our own countries. Yeah, maybe. Actually, now that I think about this, are we the problem?
We're just like gangsters in Spain.
But that's really the story of Britain anyway.
So it works. It works.
We just want to take back control.
Let's kick out these Anglo-Saxon cunts.
Only Picts here.
So, we're gonna send some people to the EU.
Yeah. to see those bloody bureaucrats in Brussels with the straight bananas.
Yeah. They're 155-page documents.
You were in prison, wasn't it, Kevin?
Very much, yeah. It's because I was particularly honest.
It was because of your massive foreskin. Oh, <okay. laughs>
Well, that too. I always just thought it was a natural honesty. But now that you've revealed that to me.
Yeah. It's a natural windsong.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Certainly isn't blowing. Anyway, I kind of fucked that a little bit, but you knew where I was going.
Yeah,
with it, right?
It's fine.
I should have walked to that one.
Yeah, a little bit more of a walking.
Yeah, and I would have probably nailed that one. Yeah.
The pressure. So we're going to send some fucking bureaucrats of our own to fucking deal with this. Yeah. Tell those EU fucking snowflakes where to go.
Yeah, Jerry's. Yeah. We beat you in World War II with nothing but a bit of, like, a wheelbarrow and some like sellotape and our own cunning and ingenuity. And nothing to do with the Americans or the Red Army. Nothing whatsoever to do with them at all.
Onions and carrots.
Yeah. And Winston Churchill giving you the fucking Vickies. He murdered lots of people.
Wow.
Like loads of people. Yeah, yeah.
Like you said, people from Bangladesh are animals, right? That's what he said.
Yeah.
He's a hero, right. So he must be right. No? Also, sorry.
Starved a few Irish people as well.
Yeah. Fuck it. Yeah. Done. Yeah.
They were too fat.
Sorry, I don't think he said animals. I think his exact words were subhuman.
So. It's subhuman, yeah.
Well, my message to you, Ireland, is nothing Rudy. Tastes as good as skinny feels. Nope.
Fuck.
Should that bit be edited out?
You're why, being Kevin, awesome.
Why is Pepper going full Cromwell?
full Cromwell tonight. Look, the spirit of Brexiteer has got us, like, taken me over. Like, that's it. I'm possessed by the...
And those Cromwell Puritan cunts were ones that colonised America as well. So fuck that too.
So
I've basically been like taken over by the spirit of a fat middle-aged man who spends the time wanking over model train sets in his attic.
Winston Churchill.
So here's a question. It's Brexit, obviously, which is what you're talking about. But on the island, would it be Dixit or?
That's just pulling out, isn't it?
Which is that not actually the best form of contraception, kids? Let me tell you now.
Wait, what? It's
more
what?
Than that.
Packet crisps. Elastic band. It's never done us any harm.
Oh, mate.
Yeah. No harm. Apart from the salt and vinegar. Which is actually the origin of the term vinegar strokes. Or perhaps not.
So, who are we taking? Who are we sending?
Pittman.
Who are we sending to get it right up Junker?
He's always drunk anyway. Yeah, he actually is always drunk.
Yeah.
That's worrying. But anyway.
Anyway, so yeah, who are we sending? Who's going first?
Jamie, why don't you go first?
Well volunteered.
Well, I'm sending a man who knows a lot about other cultures. He's also, could be, I don't think he's ever negotiated his life, but he could be a skilled negotiator because he's good at hiding stuff and then nothing's quite what you expect. That's right. British icon, Tommy Cooper.
Oh, that is very good. Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. He'd get a Brexit deal just like that.
I'm concerned, though, about the cultural appropriation of the Fez.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Is he an international man or did he just appropriate other culture to give a shit? Yeah. Either way, I think that's what Brexit's all about.
Yeah, I think it is.
Nothing more British than fucking curries, mate.
Yeah. Tikka masala. Come over here for our tikka masala.
So basically my premise is that he will dupe all of the EU's negotiators because they'll be like, oh, this is what we're expecting to happen. We think he's hiding this because we think this is a typical magic trick. Mm-hmm. No, no, no. It's going to be something that will utterly embarrass him, just like Brexit's going to turn out to be. We think we're doing something great. No, no, no. It's going to be fucking embarrassing for everyone involved. And, you know, the country will literally die of a heart attack on stage. That's the equivalent of what Brexit is. I love Tommy Cooper.
Yeah, really, really good. Yeah.
Name me one thing that's more beautiful than that.
Oh, God, nice.
Yeah, that I'm behind that 100%.
Yeah, Tommy Cooper's a very good show.
Tommy Cooper on the team.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not going to point out the fact that he was a wife beater and a drunk.
Oh,
he's perfect for Brexit.
Perfect for Brexit.
Oh my God.
Sums it up well.
Yeah. He watched too many movies about women being killed.
I was just about to say.
Jesus.
On a magic rampage.
And round we go.
Is it over? Is it over? No, it's a knife in your fucking head.
Okay. So, Dave, who are you bringing?
Well, I mean, we need someone who's going to be really positive about everything because it's all so fucking negative just now. So, I thought I'd take along someone who's going to be able to do spread positivity and optimism. That's kind of it. So, I'm going to take Tony the Tiger. So my thought is no matter what comes up and anything, any kind of negativity that does come up against him and anything, any moment at all, he'll just be able to shout it.
Yep.
Show it.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day,
trade deals, they're great.
You have to say, it's Great Britain. And he'll always be very, you know, always aware, know what's going on in negotiations. He'll keep himself frosty.
Wow. Here's a question. Is Tony a British icon or an American icon?
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
I have no idea.
Yeah, have to,
because it's Kellogg's.
Bengal.
Kellogg's is British, I'm fairly sure, isn't it?
Nope, it's
American. Yeah,
yeah. Kellogg's is an American brand.
It's always been American, though.
Yeah, nope. I thought it was a British farmer who started it as a health food.
Kellogg was the health
food. It was like a health food because Ben Goldacre talks about it in one of his books, and he's like, maybe it was American, though. We'll find out if only there was a database of information that we could...
You just keep filling, Jamie.
That's what all the ladies say. So I believe that Kellogg's was like, Ben Goldacre like said, it's kind of like all these, you know, yogurts that claim they look after your gut bacteria, but there's not much evidence that they really do.
Yeah.
Even though gut bacteria seem to be more and more important. But anyway, he said it's kind of like that kind of just stuck. And now millions of people have cereal for breakfast. But apart from porridge and grits, in America, people didn't used to have cereal for breakfast, but there was this massive surplus.
Yeah.
But we need to get rid of.
So,
kind of like corn in America.
Yeah.
Because we use fucking corn oil in everything and it's really bad for you.
Yeah.
Corn syrup, that's what I
was thinking. It's a sugar replacement.
It's really bad for you, but they haven't gone on, they weren't able to sell it as a health thing. Yeah. It's essentially the same sort of idea.
Well,
for you.
I reckon it's probably American. Okay. It was set up in Battle Creek, which sounds American.
Yeah, definitely.
That's some solid. Well, I was going to say, like, Tony the Tiger does actually have a lot of Brexiteer characteristics because he is old. He almost certainly has type 2 diabetes, like a classic gammon, and he's almost certainly lost all of his teeth due to eating prostates. So I actually think he's a pretty perfect representation of what we're looking for.
Just a big gummy tiger. Yeah.
He's also he's also a tiger, which is Indian, which represents the British Empire.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And American, so can negotiate a free trade deal with America as well.
Yeah.
So we can get we can get chlorinated chicken for breakfast instead of fucking Frosties.
Yes!
Done deal.
And Donald Trump thinks he's a real person.
So sure if you guys thought this through more than I did.
Totally winging it, Dave.
Well, I think I'm going to bring probably the ultimate Brit, abroad as well, and he will sort out anything. He's got a lot of punching behind him. I'm going to bring the Staith.
Oh, yes.
I thought you were going for Michael Palin.
Wow. No.
That's very different.
That's a very different outcome. No, I'm bringing the Staith. Basically, because I reckon he's a pretty good negotiator. You know, he can fight a megalodon. Yeah. he punches his way through everything, and he also survived revolver in his career. So
also, if he sort of represents a country, and the country has a heart attack, as I suggested earlier, he can keep it going like Crank.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
By shagging someone in public and like electrocuting himself and killing people and shit,
and just running around
just in the conference room.
Why wouldn't that work?
running around Europe shouting, "Where's me bumper?
Where's me jam tart?
Who's got me jam tart?"
Think up someone's arse
and firing it.
Oh no, was it strawberry tart?
Strawberry
Where's
tart.
Me strawberry tart. I remember watching. I think that's in Crank 2.
Two it is.
And Crank 2 was so cheap that when it zooms in from above for an above shot,
it's both films. Crank
is,
and Crank 2.
Is it Google or is it Keystone?
It's Google.
Is it Google?
Yeah.
I thought it was Keystone.
It's a Google Map.
It's got a watermark on the bottom like Google Maps,
and it just zooms in.
And it zooms in, and it didn't even pay to remove the watermark. It's such a great film. Oh yeah, I'm absolutely 100% behind the Staith. Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
He'll, if things get a little bit, you know, ropey and both Tommy Tony.
Oh, Europe has murdered Jason Statham's wife.
Who is Rosie Huntington-Whiteley? Right. So pass it to Fight Club for approval of women we would never dare to speak to. Oh my God, she's so gorgeous. We should definitely stand 1 million feet away from her, just in case she sees us.
Better than the sting approach.
Yeah.
A 100 million miles away. Every step we take further away.
I was also going to say on the Statham as well, like as a transporter, he's got like extensive experience in the logistics. So, you know, like there's very few people that understand the issues involved in customs, well, like the state does.
Yeah,
as a transporter.
He smuggles guns for customs all the time.
Yeah, true. Exactly.
So he's got this whole thing down. He's like, oh yeah, we'll accept all your customs checks. And he'll just teach all the lorry drivers how to fucking sneak in.
Exactly.
Get in somewhere, murder someone, get back
he's
out.
Also,
that's what lorry drivers do.
he's also got the ability to you know, fix many situations that go wrong because he's the mechanic as well.
Yeah, exactly.
He's good at dealing with negotiations as well because those sausages would be ready 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago. Wow. So he's used to that shit.
He likes caravans. He likes caravans.
But he likes...
He likes dogs.
But he likes caravans more.
Yeah.
Perfect. Are you saying that he understands the Irish travelling community and therefore the Irish border problem?
Yes,
exactly. That's actually exactly what we're saying. Yeah. Because you can't have, like, sort of nomadic peoples who are going to likely travel. Like, there are something like 700 odd different crossing points in that border. The nomadic peoples cross that all the time. You need to understand those situations.
And he also understands the need for pet passports as
well. Yeah, exactly. Because he loves dogs.
Yeah.
I love dogs.
Yeah. So, the Staith.
It's a fucking perfect choice.
We've got quite a good team so far. Mark.
Well, I'm going to add a little bit of a little bit intellectual highbrow. I'm going to come in here with a really steely negotiator, someone who never gives anything away, and also his friend as well, because I think they're a pretty tough double act. So I'm going to say Sooty and sweet.
Yes.
Because
where's Matthew?
Yeah.
He's a puppet master there.
Yeah. Because essentially things are going so well with the Brexit negotiations that I mean, like, basically Sooty is doing every bit as well as anybody else. Nobody else has said anything particularly useful from the British side for any period of time, as far as I can tell.
Essentially, every time they do talk, obviously Sooty doesn't say anything, but with Sweep, all I do hear is.
See, my memories of Sooty and Sweep is watching awesome Scottish kids TV like The Same Kettle, and then going down to stay at my cousins in Yorkshire, and my uncle would be like, "Oh, what's this Same Kettle nonsense? Why do you watch Sooty and Sweep?" And I watch Sooty and Sweep, my kid, it's fucking shit. I thought that as a kid, I was like, "This does not compare to The Singing Kettle." That's this it. Is bullshit. So clearly, let alone Nightmare. You know.
It was clearly him. It was him all along.
Yeah. It's fucking obvious.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Yeah, you're right. But the only thing I was going to come back to on Sooty is like, and back to the Jean-Claude Juncker and his drinking, there is that slight worry that Sooty's going to have to lean in to talk to Jean-Claude Juncker, get drunk on the fumes a little bit, because that's going to be a bit of a danger. But no, I just think Sooty and Sweep are probably the perfect combination, because at the end of the day, like us, they're going to get fisted. Yes, people, that was a long walk.
Was that the joke you were talking about before a podcast?
No.
No, okay. That was good.
I had another one.
It's interesting, though, because Sweep, you know, is obviously a top shagger as well.
Wait a minute. Did Sue not get pregnant at one point in time?
Did she?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
That's an awkward love triangle.
Yes.
Was it you, Sue?
Sweep's like, oh no, it was me, Matthew. Coy, look at these.
Was it
ginger bastard?
She's a panda.
Was it? Yeah. Isn't that statistically unlikely?
Yeah. It was a fake pregnancy to get more food. but also, so I'm worried that Sweep could derail the negotiations by being an absolute shagger and being a complete mess, somewhat like Boris Johnson. Yeah. Sooty's trying to get everyone on board, and Sweep's just that was like doing his thing, and then Sooty's a mute one.
Yeah,
Sweep me from his side, just like Boris Johnson, and he'll take over in the end, but it'll be worse.
Yeah.
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 No one wants to see the Sweep show.
No, nobody.
Sweep's like fucking AC Slater. It's very much the same relationship as say by the Bell.
Yeah. Yeah. Although AC Slater was a bit more do-gooding than Sweep ever was.
He's more screech, I would say.
Yeah.
Similar infuriating voice and personality.
Are you saying Sweep is going to take part in pornos? When he's like, do you not know this?
If you could think of it, yeah. If you could think about it, it's happened. And like you say, top shagger. So.
he is absolutely. Like, there's no question in my mind.
Sweep's a top shagger. Oh, this fucking thing goes weird places.
So does Sweep.
I mean, once you put a man's hand up your arse to animate your very existence, you can be in some weird shit and it doesn't seem weird to you. Yeah. It seems fucking normal.
Rosie and Jim kept talking about their sack magic. All I'm saying.
Having it off in a biscuit tin.
You said Sweep was in the sack magic.
It was his sack magic.
Oh dear. I'm not comfortable anymore. My childhood.
Just one prolonged squeak.
Oh right, okay. Well, I think that's our superstar team.
They're great.
Oh, yeah, heading off to Brussels.
In a fucking Eurostar.
Just like to add my bonus person was, first person I thought was Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. Because
you said the muscles from Brussels.
Yeah, the muscles from Brussels. Although he's not very British, is he? So, yeah.
No. But he knows the continent. He understands it, but he's also travelled to Thailand to avenge his brother getting his back broken, not his wife. Although his girlfriend does get raped, and then he kicks shit out of Tong Po. So he understands international trade as well.
It wraps it all up, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. You've got all the links in one.
It's all good.
So, fair enough. Well, I think that's probably it. We're going to be long, I think, but I'll do something to cut this down.
Cut out some of the bad bits.
There's a few of them.
The problem with drinking podcasts, if the drink encourages you to say silly things that you regret instantly.
This is why we could never do a live show. Edit that out.
Okay, so Jamie, we've not had any socials. Fancy giving us some?
Yes, please talk to us on facebook.com/5clubpod or at 5club. Oh god, I've had a few drinks. Twitter at 5club, Facebook, search 5club, email us at ken@5club.co.uk, send us sweep porn fanfiction on our website www.5club.co.uk and Instagram 5club.
Beautiful. And if you want to chuck in a buck or buy some apparel, it needs updated. I need some new t-shirts.
Cutch has bought a mixer that he thought he would have to pay for months, which he didn't, but now it's come due and he doesn't have enough money, so please give him money, listeners.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah, it will improve the sound quality of this. Promise.
But not the actual quality.
Yeah, not the actual quality.
Oh, it's
not
to be clear.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that good a mixer.
Content generator.
Could we hire a team of good writers?
Oh, that'd be more than the 50 quid this is costing me. But yeah, if you want to do that. That would be beautiful. We'd always appreciate it.
Or buy merch.
That's it. Buy merch. Like I say, need to get some more designs up there. Spend a bit.
I think
of time
we might
on that,
be but. We might be at the Dunfermline Beer Festival in a couple of weeks time or a week's time.
Next weekend, next weekend it'll be
technically this weekend.
Well, yeah.
If you're listening to this
tomorrow, that'll be yeah. Okay. The 27th, 8th, 9th. So, look, we're going to be at the Dunfermline Beer Festival. Yeah. So
come say hi.
I don't know. Are we going to record?
Maybe.
Yeah. Bring a couple of mics and see what happens. See if the magic happens.
Good fun last time.
But yeah, we'll do something. And yeah, that would be that. So I suppose it really brings us to that time of the evening where I have to ask, Dave, what's the motto?
You can go to work tomorrow and tell your boss to fuck off because Kutch will just edit it out of your life and everything's fine.
Nope. Oh.
If you sign up to our Patreon,
it's great.
Do you want to give me another one?
No, fuck that. That's a great one.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, fuck. Edit out your objection.
All right. Yeah. Tell your boss to fuck off and fuck Kutch too.
Good night.
Night.
Dear. Hello. Is that your fancy mic?
Boom. Boom. I don't have a thing for it though, so it'll be a wee bit. I'm a bit annoyed by that, but never mind.
You're still struggling to get ahead, are you?
Yeah. Should talk into the pink one.
Yeah.
It's purple.
Yeah. I'm a necrophiliac.
And you've got a blue microphone.
There's an extra.